This is a special In the Field report from heritageradionetwork.org. We're here at the Institute of Culinary Education at the release party for the Oxford Encyclopedia of Food and Drink in America.
We're here at the Oxford Encyclopedia of Food and Drink of America release party, and I'm sitting down with Cara Da Silva and Farmer Lee Jones. And, you know, you guys are kind of coming from slightly opposite ends of the country, and I guess maybe I wanted to get your thoughts on how you kind of personally might define American food, and I'll start with you.
Oh, that's such a big topic. You know, it's an evolution. And we had some great conversation tonight, obviously, with us in the panel. But I really don't know how to answer that. I mean, it's such a melting pot. And I think it's an evolution of what products we end up finding ourselves wanting to cook or what we have a demand for. It's interesting from a farm perspective. You know, there's a lot of vegetables that, you know, we've grown the same vegetables for years, but the product mix really seems to evolve. The heirloom, which is really, it's new, but actually it's old. We're reintroducing old vegetables that got abandoned because they didn't have the yield or the tons per acre for commercial growers. And so when we introduce them, it's not that we're introducing a new product or a genetically modified product. It's that we're reintroducing a very old product because of the integrity of the flavor or some unique characteristic in color or texture that is appealing to us. So, you know, what is food? I think it's an evolution of what we really find that we like and we love. And there's so many influences, so many, I mean, we're all immigrants. That's what the United States is made up of. And I think that we do some things traditionally, you know, whether it's Thanksgiving or holidays or just every day of what we eat. And we don't even know why we do them anymore. But someplace, if you went back and talked to mom or grandma or great grandma, well, the reason they did that was because they did it back in Germany or wherever. And so it's really, it's the melting pot, and it's an evolution, yet there's some roots that ties back to something that maybe we don't even have the meaning or the knowledge of why we do them anymore.
Yeah, I think it's an ongoing conversation. Cara, when we were talking outside, we were talking about the challenges of recreating dishes from when we travel and how, you know, sourcing ingredients, you know, when you're back in the States can make it challenging to prepare items that taste the same. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the challenges of you know, being a cook in America and trying to recreate foods of various homelands.
Before I answer that, can I speak to something?
Yeah, sure.
That he just said? The issue of Thanksgiving, and I mean, my specialty is ethnicity, and everywhere, and particularly New York, because I'm a native New Yorker. But where Thanksgiving is concerned, oddly enough, it's not the way you said. There are very traditional Thanksgivings among American families who've been here a long time, and among some other people too. But one of the most interesting things, I think, about Thanksgiving is what immigrants do with it. And the iconic piece is the piece that matters, the turkey. You come in, you have to have, you want to be an American, you've got to have this American bird on the table. But then you surround it with the foods, the celebration foods of whatever country you come from. So that a Chinese will stuff the turkey with some Chinese rice mixture, and then all around will be dishes from whatever province they're from. Or Jamaicans will start out with she-goat soup, and then they will have the turkey because that's what makes it American. And articles, including by me, have been written about this, but it's an ongoing phenomenon, and I find it, so, first of all, very touching, and secondly, so interesting that to be American means turkey. Means having that you're in good enough shape to have a turkey on your table. I remember that here in New York, in Little India, which is along Lexington Avenue in the 20s, that there was a Pakistani store selling turkeys for Thanksgiving, already prepared turkeys for Thanksgiving with the Pakistani spices and other such things. So I just had to say that because while, of course, there are Norman Rockwell Thanksgivings throughout the land, they're not necessarily on immigrant tables, and they probably aren't on immigrant tables until a few generations in.
But my point is that we're all immigrants.
Absolutely.
And
no,
you
I
know
mean
that we
immigrants.
Sure,
that's
sure. We have new immigrants and old immigrants.
No, I agree with you.
And you weren't here in the 20s. You're way too young to
no,
have been
I wasn't
here,
in the 20s.
Well, you
what
said you can remember in the
what?
20s with the Pakistan
no, not
turkey.
The 20s meaning the area
oh, the
of
street.
New York.
Way
street.
Too young.
It was
street.
The street.
The oh,
street.
I thought you were, I'm like, oh, in the 19th.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait
you're
a minute.
Right, I'm way, way,
you're,
way too young.
You're 40 years old. I'm having trouble with the math here.
No, I meant in the street.
Oh. So, you know, I've been in the sticks too long. I'm out from out in the country.
Well, that's true. I'm
you've
sorry. You've
got to slow down and
I
take it, you know.
Pardon. Anyway, to speak to what you were saying, I think it's an ongoing problem that we have very different ingredients here, and that even the best, like yours, are not the same as an Italian tomato. Something grown here is different. The taste is different. Sometimes it's absolutely fine, even if the result in the pot is somewhat different tasting. And other times you really lose the je ne sais quoi, you know, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't taste exactly the same. And so, but I think, interestingly, that relates to immigrants too, because one of the things that happens, less so obviously with fresh food, but it does happen, is that when there's a critical mass of people from a certain country here, more food from that place starts coming in to be available to the immigrants. So that if you're doing something African, for instance, you are much more likely to be able to find it. And sometimes, of course, although then you have to talk about Earth and, you know, a lot of other things. But, of course, there are immigrant groups here that grow the foods of other places on their farms on Long Island and elsewhere. So if a Chinese is growing bok choy or some Chinese person is growing something out on Long Island in Long Island soil, how close is it to bok choy, you know, brought over? It's just a very complicated issue. I think it's much easier now because of what I said about immigrants and merchandising and our continuing and growing interest in, you'll pardon the expression, authenticity, which there may not be any such thing as, that there's more available to draw from. And so you're likely to be able to come at least somewhat closer. On the other hand, not. I just told you that story about the pasta. I will just repeat quickly that a friend and I were Lynn Rossetto Casper of The Splendid Table and I were traveling in Italy together. And one of them, I mean, we had extraordinary food. We were at Emilia Romagna. And one of the most amazing dishes we had was one of the simplest. It was just pasta with caramelized onions and toasted breadcrumbs. That was the whole thing. And she could not recreate it here. It was simply not the same dish, not the same onions, even if the pasta was the same, although Emilia Romagna is the land of fresh pasta, so it might not have been. But the onions, the kind of bread, you know, whatever the oil, it's sometimes you just can't. Doesn't mean you can't make a really delicious thing, but it doesn't have that other quality.
I for one think there's something kind of great about not being able to recreate things. So just final question for you both, you know, kind of going back to the quintessential Thanksgiving table of our childhood, was there a dish that you ate or remember eating or is kind of a staple of your Thanksgiving table?
Well, absolutely. My grandmother did fried turkey and it would never make it to the Thanksgiving table. we knew when she would start and cook it, and we would always arrive ahead of time. And by the time Thanksgiving dinner had been served, the fried turkey was all gone. She would take fried turkey breast and slice it off, or she would take turkey breast and slice it off in smaller pieces, and then bread it, and then deep fry it. And it was crisp and crunchy with texture on the outside, but yet moist, which sometimes eludes a turkey. So that moisture was amazing. Grandma's gone, but the memories of that are something that I'll cherish the rest of my life. I just want to, you know, take the opportunity to, Heritage Radio is so important and does such great work, and I really appreciate the awareness that you bring to folks, and what you do is so worthwhile and important. So we really appreciate what you do. From out at the farm, all of us thank you for the great work that you folks do. So continued success.
Wow, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And they are continuing and they are growing, which is fantastic. It means that people would really appreciate
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
We're beginning to appreciate them more. I think it's wonderful.
Anything from your Thanksgiving?
You know something? I can't remember anything about my childhood Thanksgivings, not where they were. You know, I've only recently realized that I just don't. However, I can tell you what it would have been, but I can't tell you what it was. It would have been surrounded by various Jewish foods.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Today's program was brought to you by 360 Cookware, green, USA-made cookware that is a delicious, healthier alternative to cooking. For more information, visit 360cookware.com.